Before we get into today's episode, we want to acknowledge the privilege of living and working on Aboriginal land, and we pay our respects to the elders past, present, and emerging. Hello, listeners. Welcome to another episode of the Culture Nerds, a leadership podcast. My name is Kira Lee, and with me I have my co-host, Simon Tyson. Hi, Simon.
Hello. Hey, Kira Lee. How are you going?
Really good.
Excellent. It's a busy day today, isn't it? Last day before Easter, and we're...
Busy day. It's been a busy week. It's been a busy month.
Yeah, and that's
busy year.
Yeah, it is. And I was actually reading something about that the other day. This is a rabbit hole, but I might go down it. About that the other day, and people almost use busy as a badge of honour, and I think we've got to be really careful about, you know, I've been busy, but it has been bloody busy, and I think...
It's been good busy, like I think it's been a little bit hectic at times, though.
It's been good as in we've achieved a lot.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're busy and not achieving a lot, but... Is it good to be busy for that long? There's a philosophical question for us all to ponder over Easter. Are our lives just too busy? Do we allow them to become too busy? So,
although the busyness has enabled us to see five states of Australia in about the past 3 weeks. So,
I think I might have seen the other one state and two territories or whatever, but I think I blinked and missed them.
So. Yeah, that's right. Now, today's podcast topic, Simon, we were talking yesterday when we were in Victoria, and you came up with a really good idea for a chat today.
It was really, I can't take the credit. It's in quick succession in multiple states. We've had three or four groups of people we've been working with, reasonably senior leaders, in one or two cases very senior, in one or two cases sort of fairly senior, where the same theme has come up. And it really, really struck me. And we've been talking around leadership and why people lead, and what that means for the way they lead and what sort of leader they are and whether they make good leaders or not. And the topic or the conversation has very quickly gone to people often take on a role, a promotion, because it's a promotion, because it means they're progressing their career. It means that they're potentially making more money without any conscious thought or with very little conscious thought about, gee, with this comes the obligation for leadership. And I think it raises some really interesting questions for organizations, because we end up with people, and this is sort of a variation on a theme we've spoken about a number of times. Obviously, we end up with people in leadership roles who shouldn't be in leadership roles because it's not what they're driven to do. They don't have the right motivations. They're not excited by that. They're there for the wrong reasons. And sometimes that's because they're the person that's been with the organization the longest, or the one that's best at the technical task. And we call that the longest or strongest. But this is slightly different. This is people who genuinely have ambition to get ahead, to progress, to increase their income, because, you know, a lot of people want to do that. Most people want to do that. And the only legitimate step for them to do that is to move into this new role, which comes with a whole bunch of obligations that they may not have considered in that process, and which I don't think organizations always make explicit enough in that process.
No, and I've had, not just recently, but in previous years working with clients, have had discussions where you have a leader that's taken on a promotion and is now realizing that managing people and their relationships are a huge part of it. And when you ask them the question, well, why did you take on the role? Their answer is, well, it was the next step. It was the only option I had to progress my career. And so it's almost like the mindset is, well, this is what I do. I just need to do that. And exactly what you said before, what comes with that and the responsibilities and the additional leadership or the leadership that you might not have had before, or the higher levels of expectation of what your leadership capabilities will be, just yeah. is not even a thought, because inside their head it's just this is the next step. And that is very common in some organizations, that is the mindset, that, well, you go from here and then you go to here and then you go to here and then you go to here.
That's it. And we can't blame people.
No, because, that's right.
I mean, they, as I say, they want to progress their career. They want to make more money. They want to get ahead. And I look, I think it comes down to two things that I think organizations and more senior managers need to do. One is, I think we should dive into each of these separately, but one of them is that they should be more explicit in the conversation when they're going through the process. And we'll come back to that. The second is our system broken? Should people have opportunities to progress without taking on leadership? But should we park that one and come back to that first one, which is around the explicit conversation?
Yeah. And look, I think organizations are getting better, because when I look at position descriptions and things like that, there are organizations that are starting to have just as much focus on the leadership aspects. But I feel like sometimes when you're dealing with people that are in a career that is very technically driven, that's where those leadership expectations and the equal weighting of how important leadership is when you take on those roles sometimes get forgotten about, because they are so technically capable of what they do that it's almost like that's an afterthought.
Yeah. Look, it's especially dangerous with internal candidates.
Yeah.
So with external candidates, we look at them through a different filter. We've got no preconceptions about their style. We've got no preconceptions about their ability. We're basing all of that on something that they've given us, a resume, an application, and potentially some checking. And obviously in an interview, we sort of try and get a feel for all of that stuff. But with internal applicants, it's almost like they have an expectation. I've been here a long time. I've done this thing. I've supported that. Therefore,
I'm the next in line.
I'm the next in line. You know, that person's been here for a year, and I've been here for 7 years, or I've done this job at this level. And I don't think organizations, particularly with internal candidates, are explicit enough in saying, that's great. And and I think they've got to look it in the eye and say, we respect the fact that you're driven to move your career forward. And we respect the fact that there's a financial incentive. And we are financially incentivizing people to take on jobs that they're not cut out for. That's the reality. So we're going to look that in the eye and say, we know there's a financial incentive to take this role on. We know there's a career progression reason to take this role on. But let's have a talk about the stuff that comes with that. And it's not just stuff that, oh, okay, I need to do some of that leadership stuff now. In taking on this role, you are expressly accepting the responsibility for leading people. And this is what that looks like. And spell that stuff out. It means talking to people about performance issues. It means going out of your way to acknowledge and appreciate people for good work. It means getting involved with all those messy team dynamics that we don't like, because a lot of people don't like conflict. It means having really clear expectations. It means devoting time to developing people, not just giving out orders and allocating tasks. It means stopping doing stuff and going to help others do stuff better, make sure they're equipped to do that. So have that explicit conversation and then be saying, so tell me, how you're feeling about it now. So now that it comes, now that we've been really, really explicit that this is part of the obligation that you're taking on, you're still keen. And if you are, then that's brilliant. Let's continue this conversation. But if you're having second thoughts right now, that's okay. Go away and think about it. And if your second thoughts are related to your confidence and experience in doing those things, then we'll support you to gain that, because no one goes into a leadership role, the first leadership role, having practiced those things extensively.
No.
So we'll support you. But if your reservations are now related to, do I want to do that stuff, then that's a much more serious question. And if you've still got those after some thought, then you're not a suitable candidate. And I think what that then does, when people, because sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes people will say, yeah, I'm happy with the people stuff, because they want the promotion and they want the pay rise. If we're explicit up front, we can then hold them accountable to that. We can, and this is not about having a punitive sort of workplace, but we can say, hey, look, you're doing really well in this aspect of it. You remember that leadership stuff we talked about before you took the role on, and we were really, really explicit about what it would involve. You don't seem to be giving that as much focus as we would like. Talk to me about that. And when they're saying, oh, it's not really my thing, you can be saying, but we were explicit about this up front. And if you want to stay in this role, or yeah, I know, I'm really keen to do it, but I'm struggling confidence or skill-wise, fantastic. Let's help you acquire those things. But I think we set it up. It's that having that really clear set of expectations up front, really clear conversation up front, and then we can hold leaders accountable to it.
And what is sometimes challenging in those instances is, in a very technical driven environment, we don't always have leaders that set those expectations, do we?
Well, we sometimes have more senior leaders who don't value those,
yeah,
the leadership aspect themselves.
Yeah.
So, yep. And in other words, we've just got a bunch of managers rather than any leaders. And yep, we know when we see that how organizations suffer. We know that, you know, they're functional but not particularly inspiring places to work. They get adequate but not exceptional performance. People come to work because they're paid but not because it gives them anything else. They drift off to other workplaces because, you know, other workplaces offer more money, and when you're competing on money and that's all you're competing on, then you're in trouble. So
yeah,
we know that those workplaces exist, but we also know how limited they become. So I've been really inspired, I have to say, over the last few days, and we've worked with a particular client over the last few days. I've been really inspired to hear a bunch of very technical people who come from a very technical background and from a very management mindset, and to see their journey and to hear them talk about a lot of people at senior level talking about leadership and naming it up, and not just using the badge, the word leadership, but talking about the underlying elements of it and valuing that stuff. It's always exciting when you see that transition in an organization.
Yeah, but absolutely. It's almost like that's right. Absolutely.
When you see leadership get into their DNA, you know things are going to move. Yeah. So
and when they start to get reward for making those changes and they can see the benefits they're getting,
yeah,
from really placing just as much emphasis on the leadership side of things and those leadership layers. We talk about the leadership layers that people put over their everyday actions, and when they start to see the reward from really holding people accountable,
yeah,
to those leadership layers, that's what I love seeing.
Well, as one of our clients says, the better I lead, the less management I need. And I love that quote. I love that phrase because,
yeah,
if I'm leading really well, I don't need to be. I was actually reading one of our old blogs today, Kira Lee, and we talked about systems of control. And management is a system of control. I know the business is operating well because I've got this system of control. And the system of control is, you know, keeping an eye on everything and having really tight boundaries and all that sort of stuff. Leadership's another system of control, but it operates very differently. In leadership, I'm controlling an organization getting the right outcome because I'm leading well, and people are therefore growing. They know what's expected. They know what to do. They're empowered to do it. They're motivated to do it. It's just another system of control, but it's a much more sustainable one than management. So as I say, I love that phrase, the better I lead, the less management I need, because people just don't need that tight control when we've got strong leadership.
Absolutely. On Tuesday, I was working with one of our clients in South Australia, and they put the majority, probably 95% of the people in the cohort that we're working with did our Emerging Leaders program last year, and now they're going through to doing our Authentic Leadership program. And Tuesday's workshop was on leadership essentials, and it was very much this topic, talking about the differences between management and leadership. And because in our Emerging Leaders they had done some of that foundational work, we spoke a lot about what changes they've been able to make in their roles. A lot of them are new and emerging leaders, so very new to leadership. And so we spent a lot of time reflecting on what we'd learnt last year between, you know, the difference between management and leadership and how we can put those leadership layers and what they've changed since last year and the difference it's making and the wins that they're seeing and the development that they're seeing in their team. And it was amazing to hear some of their stories that what was last year really challenging for them because they were, it was almost, they had to remind themselves that these are the things that I want to do. And now it's just part of their everyday fabric. It's just that is the way they lead. And they constantly see the benefits from choosing those leadership layers over those management tasks, because the management tasks absolutely have to be done. But they're putting those leadership layers over the top, and they're seeing the value in doing that, and they're seeing the growth, that not only the growth that they've reflected on for themselves, but they're seeing the way that it's being embraced by their team. They've got team members stepping up. They've got team members that are taking on promotions. They've got team members that have been really capable of taking on more responsibility. And they can sit there and know that it's they made that decision to take what we'd worked on in the workshop and implement that and worked hard at it. And now they're just reaping the rewards and hearing their stories that just, and for us, like, we can go in and we can work with people, and once we walk away, maybe they'll do it, maybe they won't. Maybe they'll see the benefit of it, but we really don't have any control over what they do when they get back to the workplace. To know that these people have worked so hard and can see the benefit, and now it's not things they have to remind each other, it's just who they are. This is who they are as a leader. I was like, this is so good.
And look, I think you're responsible for taking us down that rabbit hole. It's not having to say, will I lead or manage? It's putting the leadership layer on top of the management function. That makes that difference. And that's why we have to be explicit with people coming into these roles. So we've talked about number one, which is being really explicit, particularly with internal candidates. This is not just about stepping up to another, you know, income level or progressing the career. It comes with an explicit obligation. So here's a thought, and this leads me into the second one that we parked. What if you've got someone who says, actually, you're right, I don't want to deal with that stuff. That's not the person I want to be, or that's not the person I am. That's not how I want to spend my time. I love this task I do. I love this process I work in. I love the technical field, but where does that leave me? I can't progress. I can't make more money. I can't progress my career because I'm not taking on leadership. Where does that leave me? Do organizations either have an obligation? And I sort of tend to think no, but would they be smart? And I tend to think yes, to create pathways for people to progress without taking on leadership.
If you had have asked me this 2 years ago, I would have said, no, I think that there's an obligation for people to accept that as they move higher and accept those promotions, that with that naturally comes leadership.
But now?
But now. And I will drop a link to this episode below. But you had a when you were in America 18 months ago? Yeah, San Fran, 18 months ago. You did a podcast with your son Nick.
Well, I did a series of three, didn't I? With IT leaders in the Silicon Valley.
But this particular one was with your son Nick, where he described a setup that they have, and it's very common in San Fran, in the Silicon Valley, especially because they have a lot of IT development and that in there. They have that pathway where if you are technically driven and that's just the way you want to progress and you don't want to have to lead any people or manage teams, you just wholly and solely about the technical side of things, then there's a pathway for you to progress. But if you get to a certain point and go, you know what, yeah, I'm really ready for the challenge of leadership, it's a right turn you can take over and begin that pathway. And it was fascinating to hear about. It was fascinating to hear that how not only how it is set up, but how well it works.
Yeah, and is the price of keeping your best technical performer that you've got to put up with poor leadership from them? Because aren't you taking a really strong technical performer and making them a poor leader and therefore losing the value they bring? And is the only other alternative losing them because they go somewhere else? There's got to be a different way, doesn't there?
But I also wonder, that works so well in that industry. Would it work well in all industries? Because
We do have industries in Australia where you can get ahead without being promoted. So, for example, a teacher. After a certain amount of time, they will go up a level, and I'm not good with the technical language here, but they'll go up a level in the award, which doesn't necessarily equate to a promotion. The same would happen in childcare, now an industry that's dramatically underpaid, but in childcare, if a child carer after 12 months demonstrates they've met certain criteria and they've served that 12 months and they've done certain things within it, then they go up a level, but it doesn't mean they go into a management position. And look, there's one of our clients the other day told us about a similar arrangement in mining. Now, I don't know how widespread that is in mining, but certainly in a mining company that I'd worked in, it was there, that they had a pathway that was around the technical skill and a pathway that was around the leadership aspect. In the language, and for those listeners who haven't heard the episode where I interviewed my son, Nick, he's a senior manager at an IT company, software company in the Silicon Valley called Discord. And essentially you get to a point where you make a choice. You're a project manager, so you manage the project, the task, but not necessarily the people, or you're a people manager and you sort of move up that pathway. So it's possible to progress based upon the area that you're going to bring value to. Now, I think in the Silicon Valley, I think I'm right in saying that if you go down people management pathways, you probably can progress further. And I think that's probably a good thing because it's a skill that's rarer to be a really exceptional leader, because not because people can't do it, because not many people dedicate themselves to really being the best leader they can be. A smaller percentage of people do. So you can progress further, but you can still progress on a technical pathway and you don't lose a really good person. And I'll bet there's organisations out there that have got people that are really good technical performers that would be a bloody nightmare, that would be a disaster in leadership. But they'll go, let's stick them in a management position. Otherwise, they'll look around and then they lose some of the value that they were bringing. They create some damage and ultimately they're probably going to lose that person anyway because they're a fish out of water. Now, that person might have been happy with taking on leadership if it had been explicit. And I think that goes back to point one. But I challenge organizations to think about how can you offer a pathway that doesn't take unsuitable people and put them in leadership roles, but also helps you progress people who want to progress technically but maybe not in other areas.
Yeah, and if any of our listeners have that pathway, we would love to hear about it.
Absolutely. We'd love to hear about it and talk about them in the next episode, whether by name or not, but we'd love to hear how you deal with that challenge.
Well, we've been able to keep this short and sharp and to the point. Who are we?
I thought you were going to call me short and sweet, but I was going to say I'm not that short. we have. Good discussion, though. It really fascinated me when we heard so many organisations talking about this in such a short space of time. And maybe it's where we sort of, maybe the questions we posed took them there, but they had some really good insights.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Kira Lee. And just while before we wrap up, don't forget to get on our website, look at some of the things we offer for our community, many of them free. So under the events tab on our website, there is the Plenty in 20, which is a free series of 20-minute webinars now on demand, so you don't have to be online at a certain time. And you'll have access to the full 12 months. They're free, they're punchy, even punchier than today was, and on really hot topics for leaders. And, of course, there's some other great events there. There's our online authentic leadership program and a few other things that listeners might be interested in for either themselves or their teams.
Sounds good.
See you next episode. In the meantime, stay authentic.